marriage beyond the vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Thanks again for hanging out with us. We are now into the second hour of Marriage Beyond the Vows, and it's a special Mother's Day edition. Our question for this hour, or this segment of the hour, is what do you do when you are tempted to rebel against God? We're looking for your answers to that question. Use your own life experiences or your own life observations. Please use that to give us a call with the answer, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. I'm Tiffany Bacon here with Marcos Mercado. Marcos, again, good morning.
Well, good morning. You know, it's been an inspirational time here talking about our mothers and getting some great advice from them. Mm-hmm. And so we also want to hear from you. We know that today, this morning, that our lines are lit up, and we appreciate everyone's patience in trying to get through. Mm-hmm. But we want to encourage you. You can reach us more than just by phone. If for some reason you're calling and you really have something you want to share with us, or we can even talk about in future shows, please go to Facebook and friend us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Just type in Marriage Beyond the Vows on Facebook. And also our websites in the Philadelphia area is praisephilly.com. Mm-hmm. And in Charlotte is praisecharlotte.com.
Absolutely.
You know, Tiffany, you were asking and you posted the question, what do we do when we're tempted? Right before the break, Dorothy was sharing how she went through a hardship in her life. And although she loved God and she feared God, you know, she struggled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we will struggle at times. So a woman who fears God or a person that fears God doesn't necessarily mean that they're always strong. Mm-hmm. They will have times of struggle and times of weakness. And so what we want to encourage us is, okay, well, if you struggle, well, how do you know that this person is still a person of God? In Dorothy's case, she said, you know what? She never stopped fighting. She could have ignored her friend or said, you know what? I'm never praying again. I'm upset with God. But even though she was angry and struggling, mm-hmm. she kept moving forward. Mm-hmm. And that's a sign of someone who fears the Lord. Right now we have Margaret from Philadelphia. Margaret's on the line. And good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes.
Thank you for your patience, Margaret. So how do you know if someone not just truly fears God, but what do you do when you're tempted to rebel against God? I mean, you fear God, but you're tempted. What do you do?
I think if you have a strong Christian background, even if you're tempted, God won't let you go too far. You just get back on your knees and pray to God and ask him for strength. Okay. And I believe he'll give that strength to you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're basically saying, you know, God knows what you can handle.
And, yes, he
you
does.
Go to him in prayer.
In prayer. You have to have a strong background of love of God. Mm-hmm. If you fear God, I think everything will be just fine.
Okay.
In your walk with God.
Well, we thank you. We thank you for sharing that with us this morning.
And thank you. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Thank you for your patience. Okay. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Irene.
Marcos, that's a great question. I know that in my lifespan, initially, my mom taught me how to love, but we weren't in a very religious family.
Okay.
But I learned that as I started studying the Bible and really, you know, checking out different churches, the things that my mother taught me were things that I was, principles that I was looking for. She always used to say, it's easy to be evil. It's hard to be good. So those are the things that I looked for in terms of people teaching me and surrounding me with people who are godly. Mm-hmm. But in my walk and my life, I mean, rebel. I mean, I did drugs in college. I did all sorts of stuff trying to look for God or love in all the wrong places and relationships and stuff. And then when I did decide to make Jesus Lord of my life, and then when my son passed, I mean, the first thing I wanted was a drink. You know, my youngest brother came into the house and the police were there and I was so overwhelmed with pain and grief. He says, what do you want? I said, I need a drink. I need the pain. I couldn't deal with the pain. And he was like, I have some I have some soda for you, you know, but that's about it. So, you know, the next step that helped me was surrounding myself with godly people, other people who feared God. So when I was tempted to rebel, I was able to get the strength and the faith from them that they knew, trying to hold me accountable to the commitment that I made to God in the first place. But even Jesus, I think about Jesus, you know, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he was struggling, he was tempted, but he was like, not my will, but your will. And absolutely, I think that that's definitely something that's kept me on point whenever I'm tempted to question God's will in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we think God works for us. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, we pray and we're like, well, God doesn't answer my prayers, but, you know, what are we praying about? You know, and I know that for me, what's helped me is not so much to pray other things that I want, but to pray, God, give me what you think I need. Mm-hmm. You know, help me to be surrendered to your will. But it's challenging because the world is a rebellious world. Mm-hmm. You know, I know for me, this is just it's out there. So that to surround myself with people who love God has helped me to not fall into that temptation.
That's great. Right. Amen. Yeah. Yes, Margaret.
For me, when I heard that I had cancer, I'm a cancer survivor, that was very upsetting to me because I thought that, to me, I thought I was doing everything I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I'm serving God. Mm-hmm. But when I found out that I had cancer, it upset me very bad. Mm-hmm. I said, well, God, I'm serving you. I don't smoke. Oh, what happened? Why do I have cancer? I was so upset about that. And after my family would go to sleep at night, I would go all in the backyard, you know, struggling about it. Why? And I, when the time came, I just prayed, and I was surrounded with my friends and my church members, and they helped me through because I thought that I was going to die. Matter of fact, one doctor told me that I was going to die. And I questioned him. I said, how do you know I'm going to die? And he went and checked something because I had something also wrong with my stomach. And so he said to me, well, there's nothing coming out on your left side. That's one reason. He said, let me go back in the room and check the other side. He checked my other side. Something was coming out. So I said to him, you see, you don't know what you're talking about. Only God knows if I'm going to die or not. And I was afraid to tell my kids what the doctor had said to me because I knew they might have got upset with the doctor. But to me, we all feel sometimes we feel like we want to rebel or something when we're struggling. But we have to just hold on, pray, and just know that God is the head of everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have a question for the panel and for you, Marcos. What if the individual, if that rebellion or the struggle to rebel goes on for years, is that person still, you know, a person of God, still someone who fears God in your view? And what do you say to that person who just struggles for a very, very long time? Maybe if it was, you know, a tragic event or something that happened that shook them to the core and they just can't shake the temptation of rebelling. And you know, not saying that it's constant rebellion for years, like every single day, but some days yes, some days no, some weeks yes, some weeks no. What do you say to a person in that situation?
You know, it's a great, great question, Tiffany. And, you know, we have three women here who were tempted to rebel and had their moments at times, whether it was the loss of a child, whether it was cancer or any other hardship. And I'm sure we have many listeners right now who perhaps at that point in their lives right now where they're tempted to rebel. You know, it's easy to say, oh, I'm going to trust God until you have to actually trust him.
Right.
But the honest truth, Tiffany, is, you know, without being sentimental, because it's easy for us to be sentimental when someone's going through something and say, you know, I understand. Okay, they're rebelling because... But is that really trusting God? See, trusting God is, you know what, I feel like doing this. I don't want to talk to God. You know, I love the Psalms. And what I love about it is that you hear the prayers of either David or any of the other psalmists. And a lot of times they're struggling. I mean, they really are struggling. And they're like, kill my enemies and what's going on? And at times even like questioning, well, why do you bless other people? And I'm here trying to do the right thing. And, you know, here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, we get so many callers who say, you know, I signed up for marriage and it was supposed to be great. And he ended up being, you know, horrible to me or she was unfaithful. I mean, you know, it's like, why all these things happen? But then you come to your senses and you say, well, you know what? Was it really God? Or, you know, what was God allowing through all this? You know, and honestly, I believe that what God does is he says, you know what? Let me see how deep and how strong is that trust and that faith. And it's like, whoa, okay, now I have to trust. So to answer your question, Tiffany, I believe that, you know what? Your real faith and your real trust will be tested at times. Mm-hmm. The Bible says the storms will come. Absolutely. It's not a matter of when, you know, if they will come, it's when they will come. Mm-hmm. And when they'll come, it says that there will be either the house that stood on the rock or the one that stood on sand that collapsed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the I believe we're blessed this morning by even having, you know, three wonderful women here who, you know, their house stood. Mm-hmm. They stood the test. Nice. And so, again, they're not perfect. They had a hard time. Mm-hmm. They struggled. Yeah. But they stood the test. They were faithful in the end. And, you know, they're able to do so much because of that right now, mm-hmm. to be able to share with everyone else.
That is so true. I mean, we did stand the test. But oftentimes our faithfulness, it's easy to be faithful and obedient when everything is going well,
right.
You know, but when you're going through that storm, oftentimes you are tested. And the first thing you want to say is, you know, as we heard earlier, you know, I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing everything that you're asking me. Why are these things happening to me? But we know that bad things happen to good people, you know, and we know that bad things happen to Christians. You know,
absolutely.
You might be the billboard for the person, for your neighbor, to say, you know, this happened to this person. And but look what they were able to do as a result, mm-hmm. you know, by being obedient and faithful to God. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a terrible experience, you know, losing two children in my life, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. The pain is beyond words, but yet and still I'm standing today. You know, and it's, I believe it's the faith and the courage of so many others, mothers. And I say my mother, I said earlier, had died when I was 15 years old. But there were mothers in my life. You know, sure. Back then there was that community, that village that cared and prayed. You know, there were surrogate moms. You know, all mothers don't have to be birth mothers, mm-hmm. you know, who prayed for me, who encouraged me, who strengthened me, who reminded me of my faith, you know, and kept me, you know, through prayer and through all of the challenges in my life. So it's important to surround yourself, number one, with people who have a faith in God and believers. And also just to know that it's because you're a Christian or because, you know, you have a faith in God, that you're going to endure oftentimes some things that are not going to feel good. And somehow you have to go on and go through them. You know, bad things do happen to good people. Bad things mm-hmm. happen to Christians. And, you know, this sometimes, you know, is a test, mm-hmm. you know, that will become your testimony to strengthen others. And that's what we have done. All three of us have done just that. We've allowed the tragedies that have happened in our lives yeah. to be allow us to be a support system to someone else's life, to help and encourage someone else who is going through.
And I know we have callers. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I know we have callers on the line. We are going to get right to them.
Sure.
For those who are listening, or anybody in the room even, what if you do fall? What if you don't pass the test? How do you gain the strength to pick yourself back up and get back into the flow?
Yeah, I was definitely thinking about how the reason I do what I do is because of my relationship with God. And I think that when I'm struggling and I want to be rebellious and I want to give into my sinful nature, I always have to remind myself that my struggle is not against flesh and blood. You know, oftentimes we might be at work and we have a conflict. Or we're at home and our marriage isn't, you know, I thought I married the perfect man. I was so happy. My parents were together for 46 years. My image was, man, this man is cultured. He's educated. I love him. He's handsome. He loves me. And the marriage exploded. I never wanted to be a single parent. You know, and I struggled with that. I struggled with, I'm trying to do the right thing. I wasn't a teen mom. I waited until I was older to get married. My script, my life, you know, didn't come out the way it was. But I have to remember, again, going back to the scriptures and teach, and Jesus taught, if you hold to my teachings, you know, that's what's going to get us through things. Really holding to what Jesus taught. And when sometimes when we're so rebellious, we teach ourselves to be more and more rebellious. And we get our heart really hardened. And then we think, well, God isn't going to forgive me of this. Or, you know, God is out there, but I'm going to do what I want to do first. But if you're in a real relationship, in a love relationship with God, you don't want to do anything to hurt him. God is the perfect parent. He wants us. The things that he asks of us is to protect us, mm-hmm. to keep us from harm. And I think that if we really understood that and we would see the spiritual war, we would do what was right, regardless of how much temptation, because the fighting is worth it then, because the goal is heaven. The goal is paradise.
All right, Irene, preach it.
Yes, Mark.
For me, one of the main things that we should do, this is what I do. I've been doing it for about 14 years. Every morning, the first thing you do when you get up is pray to God. Mm-hmm. And it also helps you to read your Bible. What you have to realize, put God first. Mm-hmm. Have this relationship with God. Not that you're not going to struggle. Right. Not that you're going to get weak, but you'll fall back onto what your prayers and your relationship mm-hmm. is with God.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
And, you know, we just want to be able to clarify again the question for all our listeners. I know we have quite a few on the queue here waiting to chime in on the conversation. But we want to talk about, what do you do when you're tempted to rebel? And our mothers here, our beautiful women, they decided to preach the word this morning and just to say, you know what? You will rebel, but stop rebelling. You know, you get back to God. And we're grateful for that. And we thank you. But we want to go ahead and now give an opportunity to some of our callers. I believe our next caller here is Lewis from Philadelphia.
Evangelist Lewis on the line. Good morning. You're live.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Awesome. What's your comment or question?
Okay, there was question. The comment about the how do you resist temptation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. It's you know, the good thing is that we have someone who's fighting for us on our side. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But we know that we have to pray, fast, seek the Lord, because in this body, our flesh fight against the spirit. So what we have to do is we have to crucify this flesh daily. And we have to pick up our armor of God. And we have to renew that daily. Also, the Bible tells us if we submit ourselves unto God, resist the devil, he shall flee. So when you are submitting yourself unto God, you're walking more in the spirit instead of the flesh. Mm-hmm. So the flesh won't be in control. The spirit man will. Mm-hmm. So they'll be able to fight and then live to see another day. And sometimes you just can't stand in the face of temptation. Sometimes you have to walk away and come back when you're strong enough. So sometimes you just can't take it on by yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to get help from our Father who's up above. And also you have to seek and get prayer from someone. If you're going through something, that's why we have testimony. Somebody may be going through the same thing that you have gone through. And you can just call them and ask them, how do I make it? I need your help. Can you pray for me? Mm-hmm. You're not in this thing alone. You know, you have someone who's out there that's been through the same thing as you have been through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just have to keep your head up. Look up to the hills and will come for your help. Know that your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. And he will not let you down, because hope maketh not ashamed. So you have to look to the Lord who is your strength and know that he will take care of you.
Awesome.
That's great. Well, we thank you so much, Evangelist Lewis, for sharing that with us this morning.
Amen.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
You too. God bless.
All right. Same to you.
You know, Tiffany, I was listening to our caller and listening to the women here in the studio. Mm-hmm. And it seems so much that there are times in our lives because we're tempted to be rebellious, or we're tempted because we feel like God is not looking out for us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an emotion. I mean, I think we might know it in our heads, and we know it from the scriptures. We know it from the advice, right, even from our own mothers. Right. And I can't help but think about this passage in John 19. Jesus, actually, as he's on the cross and he knows he's about to die, his mother was about to be, you know, childless when it comes to him. You know, she was about to lose him, a gruesome death. And he thinks about her and he's like, I want to make sure she's taken care of. You know, that shows me God never forgets us. Right. And so what does he do? He turns to a disciple who he loved, who was standing there. And he says, woman, behold your son. Mm-hmm. And then he said, disciple, behold your mother. Yeah. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Meaning that, you know, it might not be. And look, this was the most unopportune time. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is about to be killed. And yet at that moment, he was able to say, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I got something to take care of. You know, he knew that both his mother needed another son, you know, someone to fill that void. And of course, no one can fill those shoes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it says the disciples who we love. We know that's John. And there's no way John was able to be the son that Jesus was. Mm-hmm. But he took care of her. And then at the same time, he said, you know what? Maybe John didn't have a mother. Who knows? Mm-hmm. but he thought about him as well. And it just, it inspires me to think about, you know, God never forgets us. Mm-hmm. And so even though we're tempted to be rebellious, we can go back and say, you know what? I can't rebel because God is with me. God is looking out, even though it doesn't seem like he's looking out at the time.
That just reminds me of something my pastor said a couple Sundays ago, that we need to be historical, not hysterical. You know, if you check the records, you know how good he's been to you, how he's brought you through so many other, you know, tests, you know, times of struggle and the storm. So be historical, not hysterical.
I love
Remember
it.
Remember that.
I will. I love it. I love it.
Absolutely.
Now,
I'm sorry.
No,
also, I was just thinking, too, how we're very tempted to do things our own way.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes God, we pray and we feel like God doesn't move fast enough. Mm-hmm. Or he's not. But the scriptures teach that he's swift.
Sure.
You know, to him, he's very patient with us.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm very grateful that to him, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. Because if not, if he would have caught me on a bad day, I'd be dust.
That's true.
And in our pride, we think our way is better. Well, no, I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. It's faster. It's easier. And we fall into that rebelliousness, but not looking at, like what Dorothy shared, you know, really looking at what is it that the scriptures teach and how God does take care of us in many ways.
That's true. Interesting how you mentioned that scripture. I struggle with that passage because I like the fact that a day, because I struggle with patience. So I want that, you know, I don't like when it says it's like 1,000 years. It's like, God, it's taking you 1,000 years to answer this prayer. Hurry up.
Right.
You know, I like the other side. I like it when it's like 1,000 years, like a day. But, you know, we really got to understand our timing, everything.
Right.
It's not the same as God's. God he sees the big picture. We don't.
Right.
We only
right.
see one little thing. And so we question him, but he sees it all. And I love that part. You know, do not be hysterical, be historical.
Right.
And even Mary right there, you know, if she goes back, I mean, she was the only woman ever to be a virgin and give birth to a child. Mm-hmm. Something amazing. She got to have Jesus in her life for her whole life, to see the miracles. His very first miracle he did. Why? Because his mother asked him to.
Right.
And so she got to enjoy all that. But I'm sure at that very moment she was tempted. I'm sure. But God knew, you know what? I got to take care of you right now. You've taken care of me. It's time for me to take care of you.
And we all know that God has done amazing things in our lives.
He has.
Absolutely.
He always does. You know, Tiffany, as we go back to the callers, there's another Tiffany on the line.
Hi.
I know you want to introduce.
Yeah. Hi, Tiffany. Yes, we have Tiffany from Wilmington, Delaware. I love your name. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good morning. What's your comment?
Good morning. I just wanted to comment, of course, and I thank God for this opportunity because I always seek Philippians 4. It speaks a lot to be content where you are and to be abased and abound and to just pursue God. So that's the part of the steps that I take. It's really all about relationship, though, building your faith because it is hard to trust. And trust is a difficult, you know, thing to acquire, but God and his relationship and your relationship with him, you build that trust because he does exactly what he says. So I like to say that. And also I say just get in the word, you know, pray, reiterating on some of the statements others have said, submitting to God, you know, and resisting the devil so he'll flee, going to the scriptures, you know, because that's what it's about. The word, he gives you that so you can build your faith so you can take action.
That's true.
Amen. And otherwise, you got to know that the outcome is great. I go to Jeremiah 29:11. Says, you know, and everything, there's a great outcome. He knows the thoughts and plans he has for you, and it's of a great outcome. So Philippians 4 is where I go, though, mostly.
Yes, yes.
Because, it speaks a lot to, you know, you're going to go through some stuff, but if you stand, if you labor, and, you know, God will prove himself. Study to show yourself approved. If you have the scriptures to go to, you know what to do. You have the faith, you know, you can make it happen. So
that is
I
so
thank
true.
You for the opportunity.
All right.
Well,
thanks
you.
A lot.
Thank you, Tiffany. And, you know, it's so interesting. Philippians 4, verse 4, is one of the most challenging scriptures to read when you're going through a hard time. Because it says, rejoice always.
Right.
And then he says it again. And again, I tell you, rejoice always. Because he knows. And the amazing thing about it is Paul wrote that while he was in prison. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think there was a lot to rejoice, you know, in terms of what he was able to see other than he saw it by faith.
Amen.
And we're talking about, you know, an old first century cell. I mean, it wasn't, you know, he didn't have a flat screen in his cell. He didn't have it all together.
No.
But you know what? He was sitting there and he was able to write these words and say, you know, always just rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he said, I say it again, rejoice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, Mark.
I want to say, too, we think we're asking for something big when we ask, we want faith. But he only said, yes, let our faith be as big as a grain of mustard seed. Mm-hmm. So, yes, think about how big is a mustard seed. So this is what helps me a lot when I want things. I said, God, you said, yes, let our faith be as big as a grain of mustard seed. Mm-hmm. So I know that you're going to let this be done. So I think that's what we all need to think about. Faith is not big. Yes, it's small as a mustard seed.
That's so true.
All right. Fantastic. Listen, the question to you right now is, what do you do when you are tempted to rebel against God? Give us a call with your answer to that question, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. And welcome back to the final segment of Marriage Beyond the Vows for this Saturday. We definitely appreciate your feedback, your comments, your calls, and even a few questions. I'm Tiffany Bacon here with Marcos Mercado. We're wrapping things up, but we are still discussing the question, what to do when you are tempted to rebel against God. We are fielding your questions at 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644.
Now, I want to encourage all our callers, you know, take advantage of this, you know, gem of an opportunity with these great women here in studio who just have some great advice. You know, they've been through the storm and they've proven themselves very faithful. And so call in and, you know, get an opportunity to pick their brain a little bit, to get a piece of their soul as they're able to share some great things with us. I mean, we've been blessed so much this morning already, being able to hear their testimonies and their conviction and even their little, you know, sermonettes along the way. So it's been great.
Yes, indeed. And we have several people on the line who would like to make their statements. Let's go right to a caller from Philadelphia. Phyllis.
Yes, hello. How are you doing today?
Hi, Phyllis. You're live on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm really enjoying the conversation and, of course, the advice that you've given. Mm-hmm. And what I usually do and say that the devil's a liar, and I pray for deliverance from that evil spirit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Okay, and God bless you.
Thank you, Phyllis. God bless you as well. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Charles is on the line, Marcos, from Mount Airy. Charles, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, and God bless you, beautiful people of God. First, I just have to thank all of you for your ministry that y'all are performing this morning. I know that y'all are helping so many people, and I just want to encourage you and just acknowledge what y'all are doing. It is awesome.
Thank you. We thank you very much.
Yes, I've heard a lot of the comments, and I've heard a lot of the solution, so I'm not calling with anything new, but just some encouragement for someone who is going through rebelling against temptation or just going through trials right now. That, you know, my brother, he spoke on Philippians, and he spoke about the struggle that Paul had in that and how much of a struggle it is to feel that way and to write those words. But there's other words in Philippians 4 that really puts things in perspective of how Paul could endure those. And that is 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And 4:19 says that, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And what God had showed me was sometimes I need to go through some stuff. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I need to suffer some things and to go through some struggles. And the one that stands out most is 8:28. For we know that all things, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. One thing about God is He is faithful. You know, God is faithful, and the only way that we really cannot rebel against God and resist the temptation to rebel against God is our relationship with Him, and that takes time and it takes maturity.
Absolutely.
So I would just encourage anyone that is going through right now to understand that God is God. He loves us. You know, the brother commented about, and you know, he complimented y'all, but let me compliment him because, like he said, Jesus was on the cross, and he still took time to care for those that he loved. He loves us, and he will never stop caring for us.
Well, thank you, Charles. My name is Marcos, and I appreciate the encouragement. And, you know, brother, I really do appreciate it. And I think we're all encouraged by your words this morning and the wisdom from Philippians. So thank you.
God bless you. God bless you.
Have a great day. We have Laura on the line from Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Good morning.
I'm here.
Hi. Can you please turn your radio down in the background? All right. Awesome. Laura, what's your comment?
Say it again.
Yes. What's your comment?
Well, one of the things, I smoked crack. And I rebuilt a whole lot. And I just want to tell people it's a process. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people get weary because they really think that God is not listening to them. But, you know, I went to a church one time and they told me, they said, sin separates you from communicating with God. Well, there's three ways he can talk to you. To another person, audible, and through different things like through the word.
Absolutely.
So actually, I turned around and, you know, I used to run into people that all they talked was the word to me. And I'm like, God don't listen to me. He don't even love me. And now, you know what? I don't even want to hear it. And it was just in time, everything that someone says to you, it comes to life. I worship him with all my heart now. It's like I have so much faith. It's unbelievable. You know, a lot of people say, oh, no, you can't be that happy. Yeah, but I am. But I am worried. He said, if I can take care of the sparrows, I can take care of you. Okay? And that's one thing that he has done. He has taken care of me. I don't worry about nothing. All my needs are met. I don't worry about people. And one thing I want to say to the addicts, don't let nobody tell you who you are. Don't let nobody tell you who you are. As long as the Father loves you, then it ain't nothing else that nobody has to say. Keep on living because, you know, as being a crackhead, okay, I'm not even going to use that because I really don't like that word, but as being a person who was out there, you get stereotyped. You know, you're an outcast. Once they say it, everybody grabs pocketbooks. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, but that's not what it's all about. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And if you try to change and then somebody comes along and they'll go, I know what she used to do. Let me tell you what she used to do. It's nothing that no one can say now to bring me off of my spiritual high. My God loves me. I love him. And I have been forgiven. Okay? He takes him and he throws him over his back. He doesn't remember anymore. And I don't think that anybody should have it in their own mind. But when you rebel, just think about how he died. And it saddens me to see how much pain he went through.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I really sit back, I sit and, you know, I just kind of get sad because I have to meditate. I have to hear his word. I have to sit back and be quiet a lot of times just to wait for him. And, you know, one of the other good things, even if you smoke crack, go to church. You take your body, your mind, and follow. Mm-hmm. You know, and sooner or later, you don't let that crack does not become your giant anymore. Once you stop having that as your giant, then praise God. It doesn't haunt you. Your strongholds, everything that has strength over time loses strength.
That's
nothing
right.
is permanent.
All right.
So they just have to keep praising. Just keep praising because I'm telling you, I am a walking miracle. I'm writing a book now.
Thank you.
From Crackhead to Chosen.
Okay.
That's the name of the book.
Oh, well, we wish you the best with it. We pray that it really would be a success. You're very passionate about what you're doing, and and we definitely want to encourage you to continue on strong. Thank
you.
Hey,
I love the Lord with all my heart, and I love people.
Okay.
No matter what they said about me, matter what I did, and I have made amends to a whole lot of people that really didn't want anything to do with me.
Sure.
But you know what? In the Bible, it says you make amends. How they take it is one way. But don't let it stop you from doing God's work.
That's great. Well, thank you. Well, you know, as we continue on here with the program, we do have Margaret Wells here with us, who is the wife of Reverend Wells, and he's the founder of ODAT, One Day at a Time. That it's a recovery program helping thousands throughout the years. They've helped thousands of people. So, Margaret, what do you have to say about this last caller and just her passion about going from this life of addiction to now, you know, seeing that she's chosen by God?
Well, I agree with what she's saying. One thing I want to let her know: somebody somewhere prayed for you. My husband have 25 years clean. His name is Henry T. Wells. He runs the One Day at a Time. My son is Mel Wells. He's the president of One Day at a Time. It's located at 2432 West Lehigh Avenue. I understand what you're saying. My husband was strung out on drugs the same way. I used to take my four little kids and go pray. Yes, pray for them. And whenever I heard that song, Somebody Prayed for You One Day, that's my song. And I'm pretty sure you've heard that song a many times. But I want to tell you something. Some mother or somebody prayed for you one day to get where you are. Continue the good work.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Right. Awesome. Thank you, Margaret, for sharing that.
Absolutely. We do have a few more people on the lines before we close today's program. We have Keisha calling in from New Jersey. Keisha, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. Good morning. This is the Praise 103.9.
Yes, it's Praise Your Inspiration Station. What's your comment?
Yes, hi. I was calling because I was listening to the program this morning, and they're talking about, you know, being, I guess, tempted to sin or tempted to, like, stray away. Mm-hmm. And I've recently just gone through a whole bat with my whole life to where I felt like God really didn't care about me because of a lot of things that happened to me when I was younger. Mm. And to the point where I was actually admitted into the hospital last weekend with a panic attack, and I really wanted to commit suicide. Mm. I just wanted to say to those who are, when you're tempted to sin or you're tempted to you know, to give into your flesh, that God has a way of surrounding you with people that will pray for you and that love you. And God has a way of showing you how much he really loves you, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've messed up. I thank God for a praying husband. I thank God for my pastors and the people that are just around me and my children that even pray for me as young as they are. I just thank God.
Absolutely. That's awesome. That's awesome. And we thank you so much for sharing this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a great day. Thank you.
All right. You too. You too.
All right now. Bye-bye. We have Tamala calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I just really want to, first and foremost, say I'm really inspired to all these former drug addicts that's overcome the power of the drug and realize that there's a greater power. But more importantly, what I want to say is that a lot of times you think that you are surrounded by temptation. You have to be careful of what you're doing, what caused you to be tempted. Mm-hmm. So I think when we draw away into temptation, you have to reposition yourself and not be around the same individuals that will cause you to sin. Mm-hmm. Because I know that when you begin to take drugs or involved with drugs, it's usually the crowd you're keeping that's pressuring you or allowing you to take that drug.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I thank you for your insight. And most importantly, we thank you for listening this morning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, amen. You know, there's so much good advice, I believe, been given today. And I wanted to give an opportunity to our panelists, to these wonderful women this morning, to share anything else. I mean, we've had all types of calls, specifically even the last two or three calls, just talking about being able to overcome addiction and not defining yourself by what people are saying you are, but by what God is saying. God still loves you. And we know that. You know, I think it's so easy for us to know these things, but not to always believe them in our hearts. And I can't help but sit here as we're talking about mothers. You know, my mother told me a lot of great things growing up, and I believed them at that moment. Mm-hmm. But when I was out there trying to do my own thing, I'm like, I wonder if she really knows what she's talking about. Mm. And, you know, I didn't always believe it. But I tell you now, as a father of two children, you know, my wife and I know, you know what? That advice was right on point. Mm-hmm. It didn't make sense. You know, one thing I never understood, though, and I still don't understand to this day, maybe our panel or someone give me an answer to this one, is when I would get a whooping from either my mom or dad, and they would say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. I'm like, no, it didn't. You know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm not going to talk too much about this on the air right now of how to discipline your children, but the Bible does talk about disciplining your children and helping them and loving them. Not abuse. We're not talking about that. We're talking about really loving them and telling them, and sometimes sternly, and saying, you know what? You need to listen to this. You know, there needs to be some discipline, some guideline. But I tell you this much, when God disciplines us, we know it hurts him, But it's meant so that it will hurt us as well, so that we can learn. And so anybody have an answer to this one? You know, what is this thing of someone tell me, please, you know, what is it? This hurts me more than it hurts you. I don't know about that one.
I don't know about it either.
No one knows. Well, I don't think my mom lied to me, but my mom, maybe it was true because she didn't hit that hard. Mm. But my dad, he would hit hard. He would take out the belt, and my mom would hit us with in the Latin culture, it was a slipper. We call it chancleta, and she would give us this, and we would pretend it hurts. It would sound loud, but it didn't hurt at all. So maybe that's what they were talking about. It's like, you know, this really doesn't hurt you. It hurts me more. So maybe that's what it was.
I have no idea. I definitely got my share.
But did your mom ever tell you that one?
See, I gave my share.
Yeah. Okay. My mom said it.
I think that's something we probably all have heard from our mothers. And we always question, like, how could it possibly hurt you more than it's hurting me? I'm the one feeling the pain of it. But I guess it's because whenever we see tears in the eyes of our children, it hurts us.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And perhaps maybe, and bringing it back to this rebellious question, perhaps because of what we did wrong and the fact that they had to discipline us, it hurt them. Yeah. Exactly. You know, I know when I saw my parents, so even to this day, when I see them hurting, it hurts me. Mm-hmm. And now that I have children, when I see them hurting, it hurts me. So how does God feel about, you know, when he sees us hurting? He doesn't want us to hurt. He wants us to heal.
Right.
He wants us to, you know, to be able to do that. And one of the reasons we wanted the three of you amazing women here is because you didn't allow situations or circumstances to allow you to get bitter. Mm-hmm. You became better. Mm-hmm. And you give so much. You've given back to so many people. And as we wrap up, I just want to ask, you know, how did you do it? You know, how did you get from such a tragedy or from so many tragedies and difficult times in your life to now being at a place where you're able to give back? Mm-hmm. What did it for you? Mm-hmm.
Well, I know I just wanted to say that I definitely gave my share of chancletas to my son. And it did hurt because as a parent, you value your child. And I think the same way with God, God values us. Mm. And I think we don't understand that value. And then he not only values us in an amazing way that he sent Jesus to give us that forgiveness, to bring that bridge between us and God. But we're definitely a slave to whatever masters us. You know, as an addict, I know, you know, I've been clean for 25 years, but I still got to be wise in my people, places, and things. Mm-hmm. And I know that when Marcos asked me a few weeks back to come, I had to pray. Mother's Day is a hard day for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I grieve the loss of my only child. Mm-hmm. I grieve the loss of my mom, who passed 14 months after to the day that my son died. But I know that I'm here because of God, because of the people that loved me enough to stay with me, even when it was hard for me to believe that God was there. Mm-hmm. And I want to reach out to those women mothers who grieve right now for the loss of their children, mm-hmm. who feel the pain. The world is lost. The world is fallen. And oftentimes, as addicts, we medicate that pain. We don't want to deal with that pain. But God is a God of comfort. And that, you know, that's the message. God is a God of comfort, and God is always there for us. You know, Luke 15, you know, he's there waiting with open arms. He wants to throw a party. He wants us to come back. And I think that if we keep that spiritual mindset and we use the resources that God puts around us, we will definitely seek his face now on earth and for eternity.
Amen. Well, thank you.
Dorothy. I have to agree, especially the part about Mother's Day being such a day of mixed emotions. Mm-hmm. As you said, I lost my mom very early on. And having lost both my children, Mother's Day is a very difficult time. And I can't help but think about all of the women that are part of the organization that I founded, Mothers in Charge, who are mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and sisters who have lost their sons and daughters and loved ones to violence, and how difficult a time, a weekend this is for them. Mm-hmm. Some of them have lost their only children, as you. And it's difficult. It's difficult. As we said earlier, you know, it should not be the natural order of things that we bury our children. Our children should be burying us. But more and more today, more families are faced with that challenge because of the violence in our communities. And, you know, God has a purpose for my life. You know, it's not probably one I would have selected, you know, but taking my son through the act of violence has brought me to a place where this is my life's work. to make a difference in the lives of people who have lost children and loved ones to violence. And it's a purpose, it's God's purpose, and it's because of my faith that I do what I do. And today I just want to say, you know, happy Mother's Day, to have the best weekend that you can, although it's a difficult time for many. You know, lean on God's strength, you know, go to Him in prayer and get through what could be for many, you know, a difficult time, whether you've lost your mom. There's one woman in our organization, Donna, and I just want to, you know, say a special prayer out for her today. She lost her mom and her son both in a home invasion. Wow. You know, so how difficult is that, that you lose your past and your present, you know, on a day like this, Mother's Day? For the listening audience, I'd like to also invite everyone out to an event that we're having on Tuesday, May 11th. It's our 7th anniversary celebration, and we're honoring many community leaders and folks who do wonderful things in our community at that awards dinner. And I'd just like to give my telephone number and website.
Sure.
It's mothersincharge.org, and our phone number is 215-228-1718. If there's anyone out there who's struggling with the issues we've talked about, been affected or perpetrators of violence or been victims of violence and need the support of our organization, feel free to call us and also join us for our 7th anniversary. It's been a pleasure being here today. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers at my church, Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church, and all of the mothers across this city and this world. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mark?
For me, concerning my mother, on Mother's Day, I don't be upset about her. I think about her, but I really don't grieve concerning my mother because I know my mother is with God. I know before she left, before she died, she met God. So I really don't grieve about that. But I will say to all the ones that's listening, if you got children or family or anybody that's on drugs, we do invite them out to One Day at a Time, 2432 West Lehigh Avenue. Thank you so much.
And I believe the website as well is odaat.us. And, you know, this is pretty much the tail end of our show. Yep. Tiffany, I don't know about you, but I feel inspired.
Absolutely.
I want to go home and give my wife a big hug and a kiss. I want to call my mother. Yes. I want to let her know she is loved. And I'm grateful to have so many women, so many mothers in, you know, in my life. And I'm sure that we have so much to thank God this day and this weekend for the rest of our lives, because God has blessed us with some amazing women in
Absolutely.
Our lives.
And we'll close today with Boys to Men, a song from Mama. Have a good weekend.
I always keep it inside. You're the driving force.